You're listening to the First Nations Infrastructure Institute podcast, audio conversations about First Nations growth and prosperity. And joining me on the line now from Bayside Development Corporation at Buckingham Mi'kmaq Nation is CEO Rose Paul. Good morning, Rose.
Good morning, Richard.
So nice to talk to you again. It's been a couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, too.
For those who might not be familiar with your community, can you help put Buckingham on the map for us? Where are you located?
Well, Buckingham Mi'kmaq Nation is about 17 kilometers from the town of Aniganish. We're right off the highway there on 10436. B, I want to say. I don't really know my exits. So I'm always lost.
You're right. But, it is 36B.
36B. And when you come off 36B, you will see the Bayside Travel Center, but that's one of the entranceway into the main part of the community of Buckingham. It's the last Mi'kmaq community in Nova Scotia before you cross the causeway to Cape Breton Island.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned the travel center. We'll probably get to that. But yeah, if you swing immediately right off the highway, you can go to the travel center. But if you follow the roundabout left, that'll take you into the community proper, right?
That takes you to the community of Buckingham, yes.
Yeah. So I've often heard people say, well, old side of the res versus new side, or north side versus south. Can you explain the two?
Sure. Currently, the north side of the community is where the main community is. That's where all of our housing is, our water and wastewater, our main buildings, such as the band office, and majority housing is on the north side. South side is the property that we have the Bayside Travel Center built on. It was another parcel of land that was divided by the highway back in 1962, and we didn't have access to the lands on the south side. So lots of hard work and dedication went into gaining access with the development of the interchange so we can build a travel center to open up opportunity to utilize land on the south side of our property.
And the travel center was phase one, and now, in fact, you're deep into planning for phase two.
Exactly. Phase one of the Bayside Bayside was phase one of the development on the south side commercially. It took a lot of infrastructure work to be able to make the Bayside Travel Center come to life because it's been earth that's never been moved. So it was, and where a travel center is located was the only parcel of land that we had that was reserved land at the time. So we are diving into phase two now. We're in very preliminary stages of planning, but I'm confident that we will be seeing some developments happen in 2023.
Sure thing. When it comes to water and wastewater, you have been working fairly closely with the First Nations Infrastructure Institute, Jason Kalla and his team there. Can you describe how that relationship came about?
Working with many of the national organizations, when we signed into the Fiscal Management Act, we worked with a lot of organizations that complemented each other to advance our community in many ways. So, for example, with our land code, with lands, and then our loan with FNFA, the financial certification, utilizing our tax power, we started getting more acquainted with First Nation Infrastructure Institute. I, at the time, found it a great tool to utilize because to plan our community in terms of for getting into land code, getting into land use mapping, and how best to map out the lands when in need of the much needed water lines and infrastructure and wastewater lines. And Jason's team with FINE was very well equipped to help us because they've been working with other First Nations in Canada. And that, for me, that's the best way to learn. You learn from another community that's kind of working on the same thing and communicate and learn the best practices, because I think we're all challenged in one way or another the same way. So Jason has been helping us, and we've been advancing quite quickly in terms of developing our First Nation infrastructure plan that we plan to now add some dollar signs and put that application in for some major funding that we need for our community.
Gotcha. And it's ongoing, right? It's not a quick meeting and then you've got everything planned out. I mean, there's a lot of mapping, there's updating, there's community consultation involved there.
Yeah, I know. We've been working together for about 3 years. We started working as a working group then. We signed down with Finney at that time. Then, of course, COVID hit. But we did a lot of virtual and a lot of Zoom. But we meet weekly. Just quite recently, we've also partnered up with the Atlantic First Nation Water Authority. So between the two of them working together with the First Nation, we are looking to advance and build in get the money first to build in the much needed infrastructure for us to utilize phase two and the south side for more commercial, but most importantly, more residential homes.
Mm. Speaking of homes, if I can go back to the north side for a minute, you've got sort of an older area, then you've got newer subdivisions up where you're living. What have the water issues been over the years?
Well, we've got a lot of homes hooked up to the wastewater treatment plants. And right now is that we're pretty much at max capacity. We can't, we don't have room to overload any more of our water and wastewater treatment plants. Not to mention that we don't have many serviceable lots left either. So the north side has done its job, I feel, and it's time for us to expand our residential areas now over to the south side.
Yeah, on water supply too. I mean, when I worked with the band office out there a number of years ago, there were occasional times when the water levels would really drop, or you've had discolored water. Are those still happening?
Yeah, no, we've been improving on that part. Sometimes when during the summer, we've hit a little bit of a drought area. But we were currently on a boil order, and then we're off. But we do, we have experienced low pressure water just because, you know, there's a lot of repairs that need to be done to upgrade the facilities of the infrastructure in Buckinkeck. You know, we need more capacity around the area to be able to work with the demand of what's needed in the community with water.
Are you also trying to find more innovative ways to fund infrastructure?
We can. We're always trying to be innovative. But one of the things that I've committed to developing phase two is that we're looking at net zero projects. So one of the innovative ways that we're looking at developing our water and infrastructure right now is finding renewable ways to develop, you know, I guess the new infrastructure that we want to build. There's more, it's been projected to us or described to us that it's more durable. The life of the equipment is longer and less cost, more cost recovery on the infrastructure. So working with the two teams, we are looking for innovative ways in water and how to best, utilize the much needed infrastructure.
Yeah, I know Jason Calla has mentioned that it's not just important to build stuff. It's important that it's sustainable, that you can maintain it, that you can operate it, you know, without having to redo the whole thing 5 or 10 years down the road.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, like, the one thing that I've expressed to the team is like, it's okay, you know, you think you're doing the right thing, you know, putting in this certain kind of equipment. But at the end of the day, we've been also looking at the rate of climate change happening in our area. That has a big impact on what kind of infrastructure you're going to be putting in. So those are one of the things that, you know, we're finding now is that there's a lot of erosion and a lot of equipment that was put in maybe even 5 years ago already beginning to go through, you know, breakdowns and whatever. But that's the thing that we're emphasizing on is that, you know, you don't always pick the cheapest equipment, but the equipment that works the best for our climate. And that's what we included into our plan. Yeah.
And that's the kind of advice you would get from the Infrastructure Institute and, you know, the First Nations Water Authority in collaboration.
Yeah, we would. So right now we're working with a team of engineers and working with Finney. We've got our land use maps. You know, they're working on doing the planning to see where the best areas are for the infrastructure and water and wastewater.
Right.
And also, like, you know, where is also our telecommunications and our power lines going to go through. So yesterday, actually, Finney had completed some maps and we'll be going through those and working through our team to actually put some dollars to these and seeing what we can utilize in our five-year plan.
You, a number of months ago, you kindly invited me to one of the planning sessions with the team. And what I learned was it's not really simple because you've got your current reserve property, then you've got lands that would be under additions to reserve, then there's fee simple property. So it can be kind of a complicated mix.
Yeah. So the good thing is that the properties that we have in fee simple are in its very final stages of additions to reserve, which is good news for us. By the time we start construction onto phase two, those lands will already be added to reserve.
Looking down the road as you develop phase two and generate more own source revenues, is the long-term goal more self-sufficiency, self-determination?
Well, hope that's the whole goal. I think the Fiscal Management Act and what we've taken into consideration, the amount of work, the way we govern ourselves, if you really look at it, is we're walking into an era of self-governance for Bakankekmikma Nation, getting more economic development and gaining more revenue and more partnerships. You know, the goal is to be self-sufficient.
Exactly. Just in wrapping up, Rose, do you have any advice for communities that maybe are where you were 3 or 4 years ago, just getting started down the infrastructure road and wondering what their options are? What kind of advice would you give?
My best advice is, like, you know, reach out to other communities that are working on similar projects. Do your research. Do some really, you know, the big part of it is planning, but the more you plan, the more you engage, getting the message out there, like these podcasts and the videos, you know, and people, there's First Nations across this country that have similar or, you know, very similar projects that they can help you with and utilize in the Fiscal Management Act. Definitely will be one way to be able to gain, because they do provide a lot of capacity and support for growing your First Nation.
And as you know, you mentioned the Fiscal Management Act. Finney hopes to hear very soon about whether it might be formally recognized within legislation, which would be a big step forward, I assume.
It is, will be a big step forward. And we're very proud to be one of the First Nations that Finney selected to work with during this process. It will show that Finney definitely is the leading institute when it comes to First Nation infrastructure.
In closing, if there are folks listening to the podcast, Rose, who might want to get in touch with you to learn more about your experience and what your plans are, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Best way is probably email.
Okay.
My email is r.paul@buckingkeck.ca. We have a website with my email on there as well.
Cool. We'll include those in the show notes, too, that they can reach out. I think you're on LinkedIn, too, right?
Yes, I am on LinkedIn as well, yes.
Other professionals there could connect that way, too.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
Fantastic. Great conversation, Rose. I know you've got a full agenda for the rest of the day, so I'd better let you go. Thank you so much for sharing your time.
Thank you for having me.
If you'd like to book a workshop to see how the Institute can support your nation, visit fnii.ca/resources. There you'll find webinars and tools such as business case templates, procurement models, technical papers, and much, much more. All at fnii.ca/resources. I'm Richard Perry. Thanks for listening.